fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Thank you, and would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, and we're going to consider today verses 7 to 12. I want to remind you again that Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 16, comprises the central section of this great book. It is a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term, pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, moral reflections. These Proverbs of Solomon are for the most part unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. They are, however, remarkable for profound thought and acute observation expressed in an antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of divine wisdom in all its diversified details, personal, domestic, social, and civil. Today we're going to consider several proverbs that are set forth in verses 7 to 12 of this 20th chapter. And the first one is a proverb that regards integrity. The just man, this is verse 7 now, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A just man is a righteous man. A righteous man is a person who fulfills all of his obligations, both to God and to man. But a person is not just before God in his natural estate, nor is he just before men in his natural estate. And so he has to be justified, and God provides a way for a sinner to be justified, and that's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he becomes a just person before God. He should also be one who is justified before men, and he is justified before men by his works. And the Word of God says here that he, this just man, walks in his integrity. That is to say, he manifests the reality of his saving faith in his conduct before men. You see, what a person does is determined by what a person believes. So belief determines behavior. Behavior demonstrates belief. A person's creed conditions his conduct. And so a truly just person will walk before men in his integrity, and he will be rewarded. Notice, his children are blessed after him. In other words, he will have a happy heritage. We're told in Psalm 112:2 that the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And this word for blessed means shall enjoy the abundant blessings of Almighty God. So, the first proverb is a proverb which regards integrity. A righteous man walks in his integrity. Verse 8 speaks of a proverb regarding justice or judgment. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Now, this expression, the king, means the chief judge in the land, the person to whom final recourse goes. He's the ruler over the land. Now, when he sits in the throne of judgment, he sits to administer justice in his land and in his domain. And as he does so, the Word of God says here that he scattereth away all evil with his eyes. And the Hebrew word that's translated as scattereth away is the word winnoweth. It has reference to the threshing of wheat and the throwing up of the wheat so that the wind will drive away all the chaff. And so the king who sits to administer judgment or justice sifts the true from the false in the evidences that are submitted to him in cases. So you see, this makes it essential that a king realize what David said that the Holy Spirit told him to record in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, which says, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So if he administers his justice aright, then he himself will be a just man, and he will exercise his judgment in the fear of Almighty God. Therefore, Paul instructs us that we should pray for kings, all who are in authority, the king who is supreme, so that we could live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So, in verse 8, then, we have a proverb that regards justice. Verse 9, a proverb regarding self-righteousness. Who can say that I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. This expression, who can say, really is a rhetorical question, and it demands a negative answer. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, or I am innocent within my heart, that I am purified from all my sin? And the answer is, nobody. You see, there's not a just person in all the earth who does righteousness and sins not, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, there is none good, no, not one. Again, in chapter 3 and verse 23 of Romans, we read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 53:6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you see, we all are like filthy rags in the sight of God. All the righteousness that we can muster before God is like filthy rags. So you see, who can say I have made my heart clean? No one. You can't, my dear friend. Who can say I am pure from my sin? I have not done any sin. I've not done any wrong. You cannot, my friend. You need to confess your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and receive cleansing from him and salvation at his hand. And then verse 10 records for us a proverb regarding dishonesty. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. This expression, divers weights and divers measures, has reference to one standard of value when a person buys and operating on another standard of value when he sells. In other words, when he buys, he wants to pay as little as he can for as much as he can get. When he sells, he wants to get as much as he can for as little as he can provide, and will change the standard of value of a product, whether it's to the advantage of the seller or to the advantage of the buyer. You see, this deals with crookedness in business. This has reference to things like putting your thumb on the scale when you weigh out the meat. It has reference to charging up items at a grocery store that a person didn't actually buy. Anything that is crooked in business dealing. And the Word of God here says that This is abomination unto the Lord. The word abomination literally means utterly abhorrent. It means detestable. God detests. God holds in contempt. God abhors. God abominates all action of this kind. It's an interesting thing that this term abomination occurs 115 times in the Old Testament, 21 of which are in the book of Proverbs. And you do well sometime to get a concordance and just check out the things that the Word of God tells us are abomination unto God, an insult to the holy character of Almighty God. And one of those things is this matter of crookedness in business, dishonesty. Then in verse 11, we have recorded for us a proverb regarding character. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. In other words, the true character of a child is revealed in his conduct. Children are wonderful creatures, aren't they? Especially small children. They're uninhibited. They don't seem to be able to hide much. They haven't gotten sophisticated so as to try to deceive. They're open, and the true character of a child is revealed in just the way he acts. As a matter of fact, you can tell a lot about a family by the attitude of their children toward you. Now, this passage of Scripture says that a child is known by his doings, that is, his character is revealed by his conduct, whether that work be pure and whether that work be right. Folks, actions speak louder than words. You see, someone has said that your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you have to say. And that is so true. Oh, God, help us to have the kind of character that produces conduct that causes people to realize that our work is pure and our work is right. And then finally, in verse 12, there's a proverb regarding endowments. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. Here we are simply told that the Lord has created an ear for hearing and an eye for seeing. He not only has created that, but he has endowed all of his creatures, that is, his intelligent creatures, with the ability to see and to hear and to understand what they see and hear. This indicates that he himself hears and he himself sees. Now, our use of the ear and the eye should be in ways that please him. We must hear his word. We must look upon his world and look with compassion for the souls of men. And then we need to act accordingly. That's what we find in his word and the needs of men about us. We might be God's instrument in reaching out to those for whom Christ died. God help us to apply these proverbs to our hearts and lives.
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. The Bible Institute of the Air is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.